right. So, Ayin Hey Yomad Aleph. Omar Rav Zud. By the way, do you hear anything about Jay Friedman? I called him a couple times. No? All right.
Yeah, I was wondering. He kind of dropped off the map.
All right. I hope he's okay. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Omar Rav. Hamoteach chut shel tfira b'shabbos chayev chatos. This is talking about if somebody has a thread that is hanging out of his clothes, and you know, sometimes you have like the two pieces of the clothes like start to separate from each other. So you like, we don't have it so much in modern clothes, but so you like pull it and it like pulls the two sides of the clothes together. So, on a seam or something like that. If you have on a seam that is starting to separate, so like you pull a thread and it tightens the things together. Says the Gemara, that's chayv achatas. Because right there, that's called sewing. You pull the thread, you give it a good yank, and it causes the two things to come together. Somebody who learns something from a magoish, and the Gemara is going to say that this is, Rashi explains over here that this is somebody who is attached to Avodah Zarah. He's somebody who's serving Avodah Zarah. So even if it's a Dvar Torah, says Rashi, you're not allowed to learn from him. It's also Lilmud Himenu. And therefore, says the Gemara, is Chayav Misa. And the final thing is, V'hayadeh l'chashif t'kufas ma'zolis, somebody who knows how to cheshben out the t'kufas and the ma'zolis, v'eino chayshiv, and he doesn't do it, also l'sapra himenu. It's forbidden to talk from him. Now, the Gemara goes back to number two, and then it's going to go to number three. Megoishta, what is a megoishta? Rav v'shmul, they have a machlekes. Chad amar charshi, one say it's a magician, v'chad amar gedufi, one says that it is a magician, I mean, not a modern day magician, but he works with black magic. V'chad amar gedufi, and one who says that it means somebody who is oduk, he's firm in his Avodah Zarah belief. And he consistently curses Hashem, and he causes people to go off the derech, and he does his best to missionize towards his Avodah Zarah. So, says the Gemara, throughout Shas, when you say Megoisha or Megusha, what is it? Is it somebody who practices black magic, or is it a Gedufi? And says the Gemara, Tistayim to Rav is the one who says Gedufi. It's probably Rav is the one who said that it is this person who's off the derech. The Amara Zutra Bar Tuvi Am Rav, because we just said this first statement in the name of Rav, that stated, Haloy Medavar Echer Menam Magush is Chayim Misa. Now, that's probably not a person who does black magic, because worst comes to worst, you'll learn a thing or two about black magic. And that's not really the biggest deal. The Isaka de Charoshi, if you hold that it means a black magic person, Haksiv, Loy Salamid Lasis. You're not allowed to learn the arts in order to practice them. But you're allowed to learn them stam, to understand them and to deal, to paskin on them. So if somebody does teach you black magic, you are allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn the chants, and you're allowed to learn the spells, and you're allowed to learn what could be done, but you just can't practice it. So therefore, it probably doesn't make sense, this first statement of Rav, that if you learn anything from a magoish, you're chayav misa, then how on earth are you supposed to learn these things, if it's mutter to learn? Elamai, Teretz is that magoish does not mean a black magicker in this, according to Rav. That's takal mutter to learn black magic. Magoish must be a person who is constantly involved in Avodah Zarah. For him, you have to avoid at all costs. Tistaim says the Gemara is a good proof. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapara, Kol Yadei L'Chashev, B'Tekuvas Mazalus Ve'Ein L'Chashev. Whoever knows, is smart enough to be able to involve himself in Tekuvas Mazalus, and he doesn't do it. Allah because of Imran, him the Torah says, Ve'ez poil Hashem lo yabitu, to the works of Hashem he doesn't learn. U'maisiyad of loyra, we didn't see Hashem's handiwork. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmanim, Rabbi Yechanan, Minayin shem mitzvah la'adam l'chashiv t'kufas ha'mazalas, how do we know that it's a mitzvah? Shenemar, u'shmartem v'asisem, ki hi chachmazchem u'binazchem le'enei ha'amim. Ezu chachma u'bina shehi le'enei ha'amim, avi emar zechishiv t'kufas ha'mazalas. You should show that we are smart. And how do you do, so what's considered smart? Since in the eyes of the goyim, it is smart to be a tkuvas mazalis, to be a you know, mathematician, astronomer back then. So therefore, it's a mitzvah to show off that we're smart to the goyim. And indeed, lamaisa, I mean, Jews are known for a lot of nasty things, but in some ways, they're also known as being people of the book, and people who study a lot, and they're known, especially in the more professional circles, people who all have, you know, in the lower circles, then usually they're known to be the hated rats. But in the higher, upper circles, they're known to be, at least I think they are, they're known to be smart. And therefore, so it's a mitzvah to show off the smartness. Here we see, interesting, very interesting. I know Rabbi Aaron Cutler, who was a phenomenal genius, was once approached by the chess master of Russia. He was because his wisdom was known, and his sister was a high mathematician. She was off the derech, and she got this chess master of Russia, the ultimate master, to go and play him. And Rabbi Aaron, having never played chess before, or maybe he did when he was a kid, I don't know, but having never played chess before, on his first try, beat this guy. So the guy asked for a rematch. So I think they say the story is that he agreed to the first game because of this Gemara. He's like, listen, I'll show you how smart we are. Now, obviously, not everybody's as smart as Rabbi Aaron. Rabbi Aaron was obviously, unique human being, no matter, unique amongst unique human beings. Even now, I'm saying, brains really have, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are like idiot savants, people with incredible, incredible mental abilities. And so Rabbi Aaron had that. And he literally won the chess master of Russia on his first go. So the guy asked for a rematch. I guess it was Siyata Dishmaya that he won, rather. I don't know exactly. The guy was like, whoops, that was a dumb mistake. And then Rabbi Aaron won. He's like, okay, the rematch. Nope. So Rabbi Aaron agreed to the game just because I think they say that, I don't remember if it's my own shot or they say it over, but Rabbi Aaron agreed to the game because of this Gemara. Like, okay, I'll show you how smart we are. But once he won the first game, he's like, I'm not doing it again. First of all, I'm not putting myself at risk. And second of all, at least now the legend stands, like I won. And second of all, that's it. I showed off that we're good. I don't have to spend any more time from Torah. I was doing a mitzvah, it was out. I think that's the story they say over. I mean, it's in Rav Aaron's book, but I don't know if this pshat is in Rav Aaron's book. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Hatzad Tzvi. If somebody captures a deer. Tan Rabbanan Hatzad Chilozin. If somebody captures a Chilozin b'hapoitzei and you squish it, you crack it, whatever. Poitzei. By the way, this is one of the rayas that they say that it's they have a thousand mini rayas that it's the, and a thousand mini rayas against, that they say it's the Murex Trunculus. And one of them is poitzei, split it. It's mashma, a shell, even though Rashi says you squeeze it until the blood comes out. But okay, poitzei, einei, so it's one of the hacks is exactly how to translate this word. Einei chayev ela achas, you're only chayev once. Rabbi Huda Omer chayev shtayim. Shahi Rabbi Huda Omer. So first of all, you're chayev once for trapping. And the second time, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev twice, because when you squeeze it, you are doing dush. You're getting the blood out of the place of that where it was. And everybody discusses why is it dush. But again, that's not for now. That's what Rashi says. Let's see. Shahayu Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ptzia Bechal Disha. You are getting the blood out of its cage inside the chilazon. This is also very big. This Gemara, this line also is very big in the Murex Trunculus Sugyas. How to explain this Gemara? Is the blood its own pocket? Does it make sense now that we know that this? Now that we know that this is the. Now that the theory of Murex Trunculus, does it make sense to say that the blood that's coming out is disha? And I think they say a positive proof from here that the blood is contained in like a special sack or something like that, so it makes sense. It's sort of like a pea in a pod or something in a shell rather than a regular bloodstream. So it makes more sense to say that it's one of the, again, a mini raya. Amarava, my taima. So Amarle, they responded to him, ain't Pitsia Bechaldisha. Sorry, Pitsia is not Bechaldisha. Amarava, my taima, the Rabbana, what's the reason for the Rabbana? Because sorry, ain't Disha, ela lugudila karka. Because albeit it mimics the act of Disha, but Disha only exists on plants and things that grow from the ground. Says the Gemara, what happened to killing? You kill the animal. No, you squish it after it's dead. Rava Amar Afilu Teima Shepatzu Chai. No, you squeeze it when it's alive. Misasik Hu Eitzel Natilas Nishama. You're misasik with regards to the Natilas Nishama because you don't want it to die. You're doing your best not to let it die. Frankly, Gemara V'Habayi V'Rava Damri Tavayi Boidu Reb Shimon Reb Sik Reisha V'Layamus. That Abayi V'Rava, they both say that very nice, you don't want it to die, but squishing it is going to kill it. And that's literally the case of Psik Reisha. You chop off a head, you don't want it to die. Shkoyach, but you know it's going to die. Says the Gemara, Shaini Hacha, the Kama de Izbe Nishama Tvei Nichalei, Ki Heche de Leitzol Tzivei. Here it's better, because the longer it has a Nishama inside of it, the better it is. Because if it comes out while it's alive, it's a much clearer die. And indeed, they say that, Taka, that's the Metzias by the Strinculus as well. The longer it's there, if it's taken out when it's alive, it's a much clearer blood. Now, I don't know if that's such a riot to the Trinculus, because maybe every animal is like that. But very possibly, as soon as an animal or human dies, the blood inside starts to, I don't know, decay, but decompose or whatever. Saying it starts to destruct. And therefore, I don't know if it's considered a riot, but again, it's part of the conversation in the Murex Shaila. Okay, but hashoychet is somebody who shechts an animal. Shechet, mishumayim mechayev. Why are you chayev because of shechita? What melacha did they do in the Mishkan that was considered shechita? So basically, the Gemara's question is that we understand that they killed in the Mishkan because they needed to kill the goats. They needed to kill this thing. But why specifically shechita? Why does it say shechita? Because if you needed to kill the goats, if you needed to kill the goats, so...
Before we go on, Rabbi, what's the malach of Natilas Neshama?
That's
one of the 39 malachos.
So it's part of Sheichet.
It's a toldo of Sheichet?
It could even, you see, it's interesting because before we go on, actually, that it could be that that's the Gemara's question. Why is Sheichet the Av? Let Netilas Neshama be the Av. That's what they did in the Mishkan. They killed animals. Now, it happens to be they killed it through Shechita, but, I mean, maybe...
it was part of the 39 Malachos.
No, it was.
Shechita was?
Shechita was there, yeah.
I didn't remember.
Yeah. So the question is that, the Gemara's question is now, why specifically Shechit? Any type of Netilas Neshama? Because they killed the animals in the Mishkan. I'll tell you, there are those Rishonim who say that Shechita is the most painless death, and that's why you have to shecht it that way. So Yesh La'ayin, what's Pshat in the Gemara's question? Because let's say you have to kill an animal. It should be required it should be required for you to kill it via Shechita. Let's say you have a raccoon that you decide, that's it, this raccoon has destroyed my garbage for the last time. Or the squirrels. I don't know how the squirrels are managed to get the holes in the garbage. But everyone in my garbage thinks has a nice small little hole there. Where did it come from? I don't know. Somehow they managed to get it. So that's it. I've decided for the last time I'm not going to... So if you are able to put these rats to death, must you shech them? Because that's the most painless way to die. Because we don't want to do Tzav L'Chaim. Listen, you're annoying me to death, so I'm going to kill you first. But there's let me at least do it in a painless way. I don't know. Kids, I see from this Gemara not... Because this Gemara seems to say that why are you chayev because of Sheichet? And Rashi explains the Gemara's question that they didn't do Shechita in the Mishkan. Where did they do Shechita? If they needed to kill an animal, maybe they just choked it to death. Now, why would they choke it to death if they could do Shechita? So I see from this Gemara that indeed there is no inyan in shechting an animal if you don't need to shecht it. So the Gemara's first answer is Rav Omar Mishum Tzoveya. The reason why you have to why we're shechting the animal, why the Mishnah lists shechita, even though not necessarily did they shech the animals, is because it wanted to get you an extra malacha. If a person shechts an animal on Shabbos, he's chayav for two reasons. For A, netilas neshama, which is the av over here, and B, for dying. Why? Why are you dying? The Gemara is going to explain in a second. Ushmul amar, no, your sheikh is only chayav mishum netilas neshama. That's the only thing you're chayav for. Says the Gemara, mishum tzeveya and mishum netilas neshama loy. You're chayav because of tzeveya, and if you shecht an animal, you're not chayav because of netilas neshama. The Gemara says, Ema af mishum tzeveya. No, the chiddush is that you're also chayav for tzeveya.
Why isn't that mafasik?
Why isn't it what?
Mafasik. I don't care if it's.
Oh, Omar Rav, Mils of the Amri, this thing that I said that you're chayav because of tzeveya, Ema ba milsa. Let me add a drop of explanation to it. This is one of my favorite Gemaras. Delo leisu dori basroi velichki alai. So that literally translates means later Doris, means anybody who's after me and doesn't understand my words, but it could mean the last Dor. That the generations, the last generation should come and laugh at me. Tzeveya, but my nichale. Why are you chayv because of tzeveya? So it says there, denicha de litvas be shchita, I want dama, I want it to have the blood cover the base of shchita, ki heichi de lichzuya inchi, so people will see it, v'leisi lizavni mine. They'll see that it's fresh. I want it to be dyed red, because they'll see that it's fresh, and therefore they will come and buy it from me. So why is it my favorite Gemara? Because if you translate the word basroi, as I believe correctly, the last generation, so then it's such an interesting expression. What does that mean? So the last generation doesn't come and laugh at me. What does that mean, the last generation? The answer is, this is my own part, but because the last generation is, why is the last generation different than any other generation? The answer is because now we have fridges and freezers. And we don't buy fresh meat. So Bishlam, up until this door, when there was no fridges and freezers, and you had to have a meat, you had to have fresh meat, everybody knew what fresh meat was. So this Svara of Rav was so pashut. Rav didn't need to explain it. The only generation Rav needed to explain it for was for the last generation. So the last generation shouldn't laugh at me, says Rav, I'm going to give an explanation. By the way, it used to be before fridges and freezers, we used to have to, you know, sell fresh meat only. And that's why... So we're the first generation that really understands this Gemara. Because every other generation of Altena translated as later generations. We're translating it as last generation, and we know why we talk it. If Rav didn't explain this, we would never have understood it. What? People look at the blood in order so that it should be fresh? That's gross. But now we understand it. Anyways, it's one of my favorite Gemaras. Okay. If somebody salts something and somebody salts the skins, or vahama abdai, or he works the skins. Practically, Gemara, it's not the same thing. You work it by salting it. Hainu malei, hainu ma'abed. Hainu ma'abed. So says the Gemara. Beichanim for Rabbi Shlokish Tamer Tavayu Apik Chad Minayu. Einachanami, take out one of them. Va'ayel Sirtut. Take out either malei or ma'abed, because it's the same thing. And put in Sirtut, scoring a line on a page. Omar Rabba bar Ravuna Haiman the Malach Bisra. If somebody salts his meat, Chay Mishum Ma'abed. He's Chay because of the Malach of Ma'abed. Rabba Amar Ain Ibud Ba'ichlin. No, you can't. Ibud, which is working the leather till it's, you know, possible to write on, you don't have that by food. So even if you salt your meat really heavily, now you turn it into beef, you turn it into, what is that called again, those sticks?
Jerky.
Beef jerky, yeah, beef jerky. So, even if you salt your meat, it's still ain't ibu ba'echen. Amar Rashi, v'afilu Rabbi Bar Rav Huna loy amar ela deka bo'ila le'orcha. Even Rabbi Rav Huna only said it because if you salt it enough that you're going to be able to take it on the road, like beef jerky. Ava lebeisa, but if you salt it just to use that day in your house, so loy mashvi in shebichli eitz. Nobody is turning his food into wood. So therefore it's not salted enough to be considered ma'abed.
I had a question about why does it say by trapping, it says, you're trapping a deer. Why does it say a deer?
That's an interesting question. The answer is because not necessarily are you chaya for trapping a cow. They weren't. If you have an animal that listens to everything you say, like when you close the door on your dog, it's not, you're not chayef. If the animal is comfortable being there, and then you're not chayef. If it's taka not comfortable being there, then you have a big problem. When you first buy a dog, it's a very big issue. But once the animal is comfortable in your house, so then you're not chayef. Lav dafki, you could be chayef for trapping by a cow or a goat or chickens or whatever. If they would go in there and stay in there anyways, so then it's not necessarily a trapping to close the door on them. The real trapping is by a wild animal. And now, you're probably not catching, you know, white rhinoceros or giraffe on Shabbos. So, the thing that's probably the most common to catch is a deer. And they would eat deer. And it's a good question. I like it. Okay. Somebody who smooths out and somebody who cuts. If somebody smooths down an area in between the beams on Shabbos, he is chayev mishum ma'abed. So in between if somebody smooths out the ground in between these beams or the house, like you can imagine, like the White House, there's a whole bunch of beams in front of it, or you know the Department of Justice building or whatever. All those beams that exist over there, if you go ahead and smooth out the area, you're chayv because of mamachik. I don't know why specifically there. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Gimel Dvarim Sachli Rav Ashi Bishmei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Three things I was told by Rav Ashi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hamagara Rashi Klunsois B'Shabbos. If somebody smooths out the head of a stick on Shabbos, he sharpens the head of a stick on Shabbos. He's chayv because of mechatech, because he's cutting down precise. Hamamareach Ratiya B'Shabbos chayv mishum mematik. If somebody takes a bandage covered with ointment and he puts it on a wound on Shabbos, he's chayv because of memachik, smoothing out. And when Masatis is a Evan Shabbos, somebody who takes a stone that had been removed from a mountain and he smooths it down to brick-sized shape, that's chayv mishum makav patish, because he's finishing off the malacha of this brick. Amar b'shim ben kisma, amar b'shim ben lakish, atzor tzura b'kli. If somebody paints a picture on a keli, in other words, he takes a keli and he draws or engraves a picture on it in order for it to be nicer and sell better. Or v'hamenapeach b'kli zuchuchis, or somebody blows into a kli zuchuchis, you know, that's how they make glass, or at least they used to. You know, they blow into the glass and it widens when the glass is hot. Both of these cases, that's the act of makav patish. Chayv mishum makav patish. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Aman the shokel akupi meglima. Somebody who goes ahead and he takes Rashi says it's either like bursts, he takes out things that are in his cloak and eats either thicker threads or threads that were tied or different types of bristles and things like that that somehow got into the weave. So if you take it out after the weave, that is considered a gemar malacha, because up until then, The suit is fresh off the loom, straight from Hugo Boss's house, and Glamis has got like threads and things that are not perfect. So you go ahead and you take out anything that's not perfect. There's a thorn that got in there somehow, because Glamis, in the end of the day, I guess it's an all natural material. And so you have a thorn in there, and you take out this, you take out that. That's considered makav patish, because you're now making the suit its final usable state. The hanimila dekapet aleo. That's only, of course, if you're makbid, you wouldn't go out without de-thorning it or de-knotting it. But if you don't care about it, and like you say, it happens to see you're sitting in shul and you see a thorn there, like, okay, whatever, I'll just take it out because instead of listening to the rabbi. So then, Rabbi Joshua. So then, that's fine. If you're not doing it because you won't wear the suit anyways. But if it's something that you do, like you buy a suit and you spend half an hour dethorning it, then that's makar b'vatish. Continues the Mishnah, the Gemara HaKosev Shtei Oisi, somebody who writes two letters, Tan Rabbanan Kosev Ois Achas Gedolav. Somebody writes one big letter. He writes a big Aleph. The Yesh B'Mekai Melech Toshtayim, and he technically could have written two letters in that space that he wrote one, and used enough ink and everything. Nevertheless, he's Pater, because the Shir is two letters. However, Machak Ois Gedolav. The Yesh B'Mekai Melech Toshtayim, however, if you erase a large letter, and in that space of the large letter, there is space to write two other letters, in that case, you are Chayev. You are chayev. Why? Because erasing is only usser if it gives space to two letters. So I don't care what you erased. If you erased something intelligible in order to give space for two letters, then you're gonna be chayev, even if you only erased one letter. In fact, probably even if you erase a picture. Let's say you had a picture of something, a picture of a hand or whatever. I'm saying you erase it in order to write two letters. As long as you're giving your space to write, as long as you're giving yourself space to write two more letters, you're gonna be chayev. Amar Rabbi Nachman.
What about writing? Like what if you write, you could always write one normal letter, but you could always write two small, much smaller letters.
Right. So that's what the Gemara says, that if you're writing, it doesn't apply. By writing, if you have to write two letters in order to be chayev. You could be writing huge letters, USA. It's got to be, you got to write US before you're chayev, even if you're writing them on a huge cornfield. It's to be seen by planes overhead. Until you write two letters, you're not chayev. Because erasing, the vart is not the writing. Erasing is the preparation for writing. So since I erased a letter and it was preparing me to write, I don't have to erase any specific amount of letters. The preparation of what's going to come is the shir. And since the preparation, I'm giving myself space to write two letters, there I prepared, albeit I erased only one letter by doing it, but there I prepared via erasing for two letters. So that's why I'm chayv. We look at the next action because that's what it is. The shir is based on the next action.
Yeah, but you
always write two letters, like two tiny
letters. Right. So even if you write one normal letter, and you erase a normal letter, you're going to be high.
What do you mean?
Because you could write two small letters in
space. That's right, so you're going to be high. You're going to be high in such a case. Since you erased a letter that affords you space to write two other letters, you're going to be chayev. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. This is the chumrah of mechika over ksiva. Now, you know, continuing in what you were asking, do you need to have intention to erase in order to write the two letters, even if they're small? So I'm only erasing one in order to write two? Or is it just that there is enough space to write two? And I intend on writing one. But Lamaisa, I could have written two. From Rashi, it's mashma that even if I intend on only writing one, but since I could have written two, actually, it's the same deek in the Gemara. So I would say that Lamaisa, in the end of the day, like I was telling you, you probably only have one.
Since the thing for erasing is only in preparation for writing, what is it with, because there's some who say, like, if you have writing on a cake, then, like, you can't cut through it or something, but you're not erasing in order to write, you're just trying to eat cake.
Yeah, that's true. That would all those things would be like Drabanan. You're right. And since it's not Amanas Lechem.
But you, like, what is the specific Drabanan to apply to that? Because it has nothing to do with writing at all. It's just you're eating cake. It has to be in the form of a letter.
Right. So if by cutting it beforehand and cutting through the letters, again, not everybody agrees that it is a chumrah, but the maximum that it's going to be is a derabbanan, because the derabbanan say meichek even shaloy al manas lichtiv is a problem. That's mamash derabbanan. It's not a, like, you can't go, let's say I'm not planning on writing, so you can't just go ahead and erase and things like that. But they're only derabbanan though. Yeah, all those things are only derabbanan. Okay, habayin of asoyser, building, taking apart, a mechaba, putting out a fire of amavir, lighting up a fire of hamak of a patish. Rabba v'rav zeru d'amri tavaya kal midi de'izbe gemar malacha, anything that's finishing off the item is chayav mishimak of a patish, is chayav because of mak of a patish. So you go ahead and you do the final hammer blow on anything, you're chayav because of mak of a patish. Elu avos malachas, these are the avos malachas, elu is to the exclusion. These are the avos malachas that you're chayav on. Not like Rabbi Lazar who says that you're chayav even on toldos. This is the exclusion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Moisev as a Shevet and Medaktik. As it says, Rabbi Yehuda adds on the malachas of Shevet and Medaktik. Shevet is the process of when you're setting up the loom. Sometimes you need to, you know, you set up the warps. So, or the wefts. No, the warp, sorry. Set up the warp. So, you have to go ahead sometimes and bang them into place. So, that's called the malacha of Shevet. And Medaktik is after the it has been set up, after the entire loom has been set up, and it's starting to weave back and forth very fast, and now one or two of them didn't go across perfectly, so you take a stick and you sort of like bang it down into place to keep everything smooth. That's called medaktik. So Rabbi Yehuda added on to 41 malachas. Amar loy, and they told him, no, shevet harib b'chal mesach, shevet, banging the warp into place, that's really mesach. And medaktik, bang the weft into place, harib b'chal orik. It's the same thing as, you're right, you going ahead and smoothing out and making sure that those strings are run across smoothly, that is the act of orik.
So why doesn't it say 41 minus 2?
That's a good question. I like it. Let's think about that for a second. Huh. That's a good question.
Maybe he thought to add one, and then it was rejected. And then after, he thought to add another one.
I mean, your question still would stand. Even though it wasn't one at the same time, but yeah, look at minus two, it's a good question. I'll tell you like this. The Gemara is saying 40 minus one is not the craziest thing. Because, you know, 40 is a round number, so we say 40 minus one. And 39 is a harder to say, so 40 minus one. So the Gemara is like, Maisa, why are you saying 40 minus one? Just say 39. But at least it's not crazy. But to say 41 minus two, that's already sounds funny. Sounds funny to say 41 minus 2. Or you could have also said it's the square root of, you know, 39 squared. So like, okay, you could have done that too. Like, at that point, you know, you don't have to take out a scientific calculator and to figure out the obtuse angle of something in order to figure out how many things there are here. That's what I would say. I'd say 41 minus 2 sounds already funny. But 40 minus 1 is already somewhat normal. Just why don't you say 39 if it's 39? But that I think is the answer. But I like the question. Good question. Okay.
Why would we care if it sounds funny?
Well, no, because that's not the way to tell us something. In other words, we're trying to tell you something. If it really wanted to say it, so then just speak it out. So it's telling it to you by saying something normal, just not the 40 minus 1 instead of like a... it's trying to be as normal as possible, and at the same time hinting to you that there was a havamina for something else, but it wouldn't go out of its way and sound weird, just to tell you a havamina. If you really want to tell me the havamina, then just speak it out. The like Rabbi Yehuda, whatever. Instead of saying something weird, that's what. Okay, va'oid klal achar amru kol hakasher lahatznia. Another rule they said that it was anything that is normal to keep and to protect. Umatzni and kemayu, and you protect. So A, it's got to be a normal item, and B, the amount, the shear of the item has got to be normal. Va'hitzia b'shabbos, and you carry that amount. So like sugar, how it's normal to hide sugar. It's normal to keep sugar. So if you carry sugar outside, then you're going to be chayav. Now, how much? The amount that's normal. So, v'hitziyah b'shabbos, if you carry that outside, you're chayav v'chatas olav. Because she'ena kosher latznia, and anything that's not normal to keep, or it's normal to keep but not in that size, v'ein matznia kamayu, v'hitziyah b'shabbos, ena chayav ela hamatznia. If you carry it out on Shabbos, the only person who's chayav is somebody who actually keeps it. Says the Gemara, Kalakash, let's near lafuke. My, what is that coming to exclude? Rapapa Amar lafuke damnita. The dirty tampons and things like that. The Rapapa Amar lafuke, Rapapa Marukva Amar lafuke atzeyashera. Wood of a avoided Zara tree. My, the Amar damnita, Koshikin atzeyashera. If that's not counted, then certainly avoided Zara, which is also to keep. It's not counted. In Madam Ratz Yisheir, but Damanita Mitznah, some people do keep it Lashonah for their cats. Ve'idach, another person says, no, since there's this segula, that if somebody eats the blood of the Damanita, then it's going to, ve'idach, kevin the chalcha loy mitznah, then it makes the woman weak, so people do not keep it for that reason. Omar of Yehisi by Rav Chanina, haide loy k'Rabbi Shimon. This Gemara is not like Rabbi Shimon. Dik Rabbi Shimon, because if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, Amar loy Amar kol shiurim halalu ela lematzni ehin. He says that all these shiurim that we're going to say are only for those people who keep it hidden, who maintain this. In other words, this that the Gemara is saying is that if most people keep a shiur this size. Let's say paper clips. How many paper clips do you keep? Person who sees one paper clip is not going to keep it. You have a bucket of paper clips you keep. So how many? Let's say 20, whatever it is. So then 20 is chayav for carrying. Less than 20, you're not chayav for carrying. Says the Gemara, that everybody is chayav once you get to the level of roiv b'nei adam. So even if you have a person who's like, I'm not keeping 20 paper clips, you give a multimillionaire 20 paper clips. He's like, I'm not keeping 20 paper clips. If you give me a company that sells paper clips, I'll keep it. So then, so the Gemara says, for such a person, so that's basically what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah, however, says the Gemara is not like Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says that no, that you're never chayev unless you yourself would keep such a thing. That's how Rashi learns. So our Mishnah, which says that everybody is chayev for a normal shear, even a rich person, does not follow. That's what our Mishnah says, is not like Rav Shimon. Let's just see the next line. Let's get to the Mishnah. V'kosha ein kosher latznia. Amar Rav Elazar, hadu leker Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The last line, which is that if it's not normal for most people to keep, but you personally do keep it, then you're chayev, they're not. Amar Rav Elazar, that's also hot like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya, klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'ena kosher latznia, ve'ein matznian kamayu, anything that's not kosher to keep, and people do not keep it. V'huch shelezev hatzniu, and this one decides that he wants to keep it and he hides it. Ubo achar, and somebody else comes along v'hitzia and takes what this guy saved. So you go into this tent on Devon and McCormick where this guy saves stuff. And you see this guy collected broken beer bottles, and it's a whole bunch of stashed collections of things that people gave him on the road. He has a couple apple cores. He saves all these things. So, and you take it out. Nischayev zeh b'machshava sol zeh. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that you are chayev. The guy who takes it out is chayev. Why? Because it's precious to that original, to its owner. Since it's precious to its owner, you're chayev. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah says, no, once rave people don't want it, so then the only person who's chayav is the actual owner, not anybody who takes out the owner. However, so our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. All right.